From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. A trove of the Soviet Union's darkest secrets was smuggled out of Russia in 1992. Vasily Mitrokhin, a former archivist for the KGB, defected to the West, and he brought with him tens of thousands of pages documenting the whole history of KGB spying. A few years ago, Cambridge historian Christopher Andrew and Mitrokhin published a revealing book about KGB operations in the West. Well, now they have Volume 2, The World Was Going Our Way, The KGB and the Battle for the Third World. As Christopher Andrew told us, the title signals just how effective and how deluded the KGB was.
The KGB was professionally blind. You know, the mere idea that it was working for a system which was doomed to fail was actually beyond its imagination. So here's the difference. We sometimes get it right, we sometimes get it wrong. In an authoritarian system, particularly in one-party state, you always get it wrong. And for most of the period, when the KGB appeared to be winning in the Third World, they had to deal with Leonid Brezhnev. You know, Leonid Brezhnev was a man of unbelievable vanity, so you simply had to keep telling him, the world is going our way.
Well, I want to hear first about some KGB successes. For one, on the eve of the U.S. assault to liberate Kuwait, this was the first war against Iraq, when General Norman Schwarzkopf was about to surprise Saddam Hussein with a huge left hook instead of a straight-ahead amphibious assault. The KGB knew it. KGB knew it, and they told Saddam Hussein.
Well, they knew it because they had were able to see it from a satellite. But see, the problem was, he was an authoritarian. I mean, he was brighter than Brezhnev. Not difficult. Practically everybody was brighter than Brezhnev. But nonetheless, he was an autocrat, so people had to tell him things which didn't upset him, because if you upset Saddam Hussein, your life expectancy was dramatically lowered. So when he was told this, he thought, is this a Russian plot? So he didn't believe it, and look at him now.
Years earlier, in October 1973, when the Israelis and the U.S. were completely taken by surprise by the Egyptian army crossing the Suez Canal and an accompanying Syrian attack, KGB knew it.
Really, I think what happens in Egypt sums up what happens, with the single exception of Castro, throughout the Cold War. I mean, the KGB keep achieving a series of really dramatic short-term successes. But the KGB was never able to take more than short-term advantage of it. So, you know, in the Middle East, it thought, right, Egypt, these are the people who are going to stick with us. And they didn't. And then they thought, Iraq, these are the people who are going to stick with us. And in the end, you know, they had to fall back on Syria as a solid ally.
There's one relationship I'd like you to describe, and that is during the Vietnam War years, if I read you and Mitrokhin right here, the KGB operated in Hanoi, which was the capital of North Vietnam, as it was then. They operated much as they would in, say, an essentially hostile European capital, not as they would in a satellite state, by any means.
Oh, absolutely. You see, one of the great illusions I think people have had is that the Soviet Union's ideological allies, you wouldn't need to go out and discover their secrets, because they would simply say, how many secrets do you want? Here they are. But within Asia, I mean, the great irony is that the more democratic you were, the more open to Soviet penetration you were. So it's actually easier to penetrate Indira Gandhi's India, because it was the biggest democratic state in Asia. But the problem about Hanoi is that it was a one-party state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the KGB asked for, could you give us some really important intelligence, they really didn't make the POWs instantly available, and the KGB was very annoyed about that. The most important agent who is revealed in Hanoi by Mitrokhin is a man who was so scared, he was in the Vietnamese intelligence community, but he was so scared of giving them intelligence in Vietnam that he would only do it outside. So there's the paradox.
Fidel Castro was somebody who had extensive relations with the Soviet Union, obviously, but also with the KGB, and he was furious, as you write, at the resolution of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, that's right. He's another example of somebody who was closely allied with the Soviet Union in the Third World, who actually preferred dealing with the KGB to the diplomats. But after the Cuban Missile Crisis, the tension has simply been too much, So he tells the Russians that millions of Cubans were willing to die with supreme dignity. Well, if there had been an opinion poll carried out by National Public Radio in Cuba in 1962, in which the question to the Cuban people was, are you prepared? Were you ever prepared? Are you still prepared? Will you ever be prepared to die with supreme dignity? I think one might have found that Fidel Castro had another of his funny turns. I mean, the KGB reports are, how are we going to manage this man's ego? You know, even when they want to give somebody an apartment somewhere in Havana, they have to submit it to the maximum leader of the Cuban revolution. He's a pretty funny fellow.
Tell us a bit about the late Vasily Matrokhin, your collaborator. Now, this is the second book that you've done based...
It is the second book because he is, alas, now dead. He died last year. This is the first book in which we're able to talk about him for the first time. For those who look at the first picture of the book, the first thing that will strike them about the picture of Vasily Matrokhin, which was taken in the spring of 1992 when he got out of the core of the former Soviet Union and made it to the newly independent Baltic states, is this is a street person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he deliberately intended himself to look like a street person. Why? Because he was carrying a sample across the border of the most top-secret material, and that isn't simply my view, it's the CIA's view, it's the Parliamentary Commission's view in Britain, and many more. And he brought it to the British Embassy. Now, it was tremendously important that there was a young diplomat there who didn't immediately write him off, as she might have done. So he says, I've got these top-secret material from the KGB inside the briefcase, and he begins to unpack it, and he didn't initially make a good impression because he had hidden it under various other things like highly spiced sausages and dirty clothing and so on. Then he brandishes it. And the story is so improbable that she asks him a question which changed his life, which changed mine, and I have to say makes me proud to be British. She said, would you like a cup of tea? And while Vasily Matrokhin has his first ever cup of English tea, she looks at the material and thinks, my God, he's giving the names, the real names, of the elite corps of Soviet illegals, those who operate pretending to be Americans, pretending to be Brits, you know, and apparently have changed their nationality. If this is right, nothing like this has ever got out of the Soviet Union. And she was absolutely right.
Christopher Andrew, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Christopher Andrew is the author of The World Was Going Our Way, The KGB and the Battle for the Third World, Newly Revealed Secrets from the Matrokhin Archive. He spoke to us from Cambridge, England. You can read an excerpt from the book at our website, npr.org.